Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The first wave of lockdowns and quarantines led many divorced couples to deal with the unexpected issues arising out of their otherwise successful custody arrangements. And with many of the school districts opting for distance learning as the school year begins, how can ex-couples be better prepared to deal with the consequences of COVID-19 going forward? And joining me now is divorce attorney Leslie Montanil to answer some of those questions. So thank you very much for joining me today, Leslie. So first of all, has the coronavirus affected custody agreements, whether traditional or shared? And if it has, will the current situation continue to cause problems going forward?
Well, thanks for having me on, Stephen. Let me get right to it and tell you that, of course, the coronavirus has had some impact on custody arrangements as people have come to know them. If you're in a traditional arrangement where one parent has a primary physical custody and then the other parent has visitation, it perhaps affected you a little less because in that scenario, the children would stay with the primary caregiver. And then arrangements, of course, would be made for the visiting parent to spend time with the children. And it would probably be different. It would have to either be in that parent's home that's visiting or in the home of the primary caregiver. And, of course, everyone would have to put aside their differences as to how and where the children would meet. If you're not in a traditional arrangement, such as a shared custody arrangement where children may travel between homes week to week, or in some cases every 4 days, this is a little tricky because which parent do you stay with? Who gets to have the kids the entire time? Because you really can't have them shuffling between homes during a pandemic in a quarantine, because people have to realize that once you're divorced, people have significant others, and those significant others can also have children. And the significant others can also have exes who also have significant others who have children, where now there's more of a type of blended family situation. So when you have a non-traditional custody arrangement, you really have to think about the ages of your children, what their needs are, and where they would be better suited on a daily basis in a crisis. So perhaps if your children are 11, 12, 13 years old and up, you want to include them in the conversation because they may have something to say about it. And of course, in a lockdown, children may not be able to see their other friends or go to school, but they may choose to be in the parent's home that is closer because it gives them some sense of security. Or maybe it's the bedroom that they like better. But I think it's really important in the shared custody for parents to really discuss with their children, if age appropriate, what would make them feel comfortable. And the parents really have to come together and realize it's not about them. It's about the best interest of the child at all times. So I feel that some families, which I have known, have actually taken a big home together, you know, exes and all children, and have quarantined together, where they had these unusual circumstances. So I really feel that if a second wave should come where people need to consider this, this would be a good time to talk about it now, especially if it didn't go so smoothly the first time around. Because, you know, we are living in extraordinary times, and the effect on children is extraordinary to them. So we want to make it as best as possible for them.
Right now, I'm glad you mentioned schools. We are in California, and they've announced that the schools, that they won't be going back to regular in-classroom learning. Everything's going to be distance learning. Will that cause any additional problems for families?
Well, you know, you have to think about the parent that may have to go out of the home to work. that is an essential worker. So how will the virtual classroom work at home, and which home would be best suited? There are a lot of people now that are working from home. So perhaps dad is working from home full time, but mom, you know, she may be a frontline worker or an essential worker in a business, and she's going to have to leave the home. And maybe it would be better for the children to be on a daily basis with the parent that is at home so that they have a structure that would best help them with the virtual school setting. Because as we all know, and I'm a parent myself, that the remote learning has been quite challenging for kids of all ages, you know, all the way through high school, because it's very new to them. So I feel that you really have to look at your family unit and figure out the best way for the children to be able to be in a situation where they feel like they're in a almost classroom setting every single day. And the parent that's at home, and if it's both parents, then I guess you can split your time, but the parent that's at home will have to act like the hall monitor and keep the kids, you know, engaged and focused on their studies.
Now, you also briefly touched on this, the question about where children under the custody agreement should reside during the pandemic. Now, should that agreement ever be changed because of changing situations and changing circumstances?
Well, it might be a concern if the full-time physical custody is with the parent that has to go back to work and the work is outside the home. So in that situation, the parents would have to actually deal with each other, because even when you get a divorce, you remain the parent forever to those children, one, two, three children. They're going to have to come together and make a decision that's going to be in the best interest of all their children. And if it's mom, because a lot of times it is mom, has to go back to work, then there might have to be a shift in that physical custody where they stay in dad's home. Now, if both parents are going to have to go back to work, then one parent may have to take a step back or a pause from their job in some situation. A lot of employers are working with employees to help them, because this is happening across the country, this virtual learning, especially, you know, even college-age students. This is happening for everyone. So, you know, businesses want to keep going and working and keep the economy moving. So employers are helping their employees do the best they can. So under these circumstances, it's going to be a team effort. You know, no matter how much you might like or dislike your ex, you really have to put all those differences aside so that you can focus on having your children in the best possible scenario so that they can continue their learning and not fall behind. So you're going to have to assess your situation based on who's employed, where they're employed, can they work from home, and if you need to make a change, you can make a change. And most states and agreements will allow the parents to make that change between each other, especially in light of the circumstances that we're living in today.
As far as custody goes, if you have problems, how do you resolve custody issues in the best interest of all the children involved?
Well, if you're in the middle of a custody dispute, and it's going to depend on where you live and what state you're in and in what phase your courts are in, unless it's some domestic abuse type of situation, which we certainly hope not, then you might be constrained to have to work with your partner to come up with the best scenario, because you may not be able to get an answer so quickly from a court or a judge. And if you are engaged using attorneys to help you, then you're going to want to have those attorneys work out something if you can't work it out for yourself, for your children, because it's always the children that come first. It's always the best interest of the children that will matter. And it won't matter what court you're in anywhere. It's always the children that have to come first. Your needs and wants or your likes or dislikes will take a back seat. And I always try and counsel my clients to try and work it out with their spouse, because you don't want a court, a judge, or some referee or mediator to try and make that decision for you, especially when it comes to your children. I think we all know deep down inside what would be best for our children. And again, when children reach a certain age, they certainly have an opinion and a feeling that should be validated, and we should include them in the conversation, which also can help mom and dad make a decision that they're unsure of.
You know, you mentioned kids being of a certain age to be brought into the conversation. What is a good age to include the children in that conversation?
I think when you hit the age around 11, 12 years old, 13, when you would allow another child to perhaps like babysit other children, you obviously would think that they had some sense of maturity, that you would give them some sort of responsibilities, that they have a feeling of how they might function better in, you know, one home or the other for a longer period of time. You certainly can take into account their feelings and what their opinions are as to how they would be most successful, whether it is living in home A or home B. And a lot of times in the shared custody, the parents live pretty close together. A lot of times they might live in the same school district or a town over, so they're really not far apart. So it might make it an easier decision. And the child, the parents need to recognize the child is not choosing one parent over the other. They're choosing where they feel most comfortable at that moment, at that time, at that tender age. So it might be in the neighborhood that's closer to the middle school. It might be in the neighborhood where they know three of their friends live. You know, it might be they like the way the sunlight hits their bedroom better and it helps them work. So the parents have to really understand it's not about them. It's about their child. You know, and you might have three children and two children might want to live in one home and one might want to live in the other. And that's okay too. Now, obviously, when children are three, four, five, when they're very, very young, the parents are going to have to make a decision based on their lifestyle, their working, how they're working. Are they working from home? Are they working remotely? Who can be there at most to attend to the needs of the children? So those are other considerations. You know, when children get older, they can do more for themselves, and they want to do more for themselves, and that's a good thing.
Now, many court cases have been put on hold because of the pandemic. All the courts are closed down. Do you see a flood of new divorce cases coming forward after all the courts reopen?
Well, what I do see is that there is a flood of a lot of new filings because those filings weren't able to happen. They were right around the time of the pandemic, and then the courts closed. So people who weren't able to file for divorce have now flooded the courthouses to now move forward. And then, of course, there were the people that maybe decided during the pandemic their spouse really wasn't as bad as they thought because they survived a crisis together. I don't necessarily think that the pandemic itself is the reason that we're going to see an increase in the divorces. I believe it's more the process of where you were. You might have been halted in the middle of a process and couldn't move forward. You might have been making that decision, do I want to get a divorce? Do I not want to get a divorce? And now you're able to do that. I think that the actual quarantine, the pandemic, is a very, very small percentage where someone said, oh, I really can't stand this person and I don't want to be with them. The truth is you probably didn't like them before, you know, and while you're now stuck with them 24/7, it either solidified that feeling or maybe you took a step back and you said, you know, I really kind of have it pretty good. I don't know what I was so upset about. You know, it could go either way, but I don't really believe it's the coronavirus itself that's making people get a divorce.
Yeah, nothing like a pandemic to put everything in perspective, right?
Isn't that the truth?
Okay.
Really.
Where can we get more information?
Well, you can either reach me through either of my websites. One is hmlawny.com or askleslythelawyer.com. You can email me through the websites, or you can email me directly at leslie@hmlawny.com, or you can call my office at 914-234-8777.
Okay, give that number again.
914-234-8777.
Divorce attorney Leslie Montanil, and she's been answering some questions about custody arrangements and what ex-couples can expect and how they can better deal with the consequences of COVID-19 going forward. So thank you once again for joining me today, Leslie. Some great information.
Well, thanks so much, Stephen, for having me.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.